Thank you, praise Jesus. The Almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise the Almighty God. Praise the Almighty God. Yeah, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise God. It's good to see you here in the house of God this morning. Praise the Lord. And I would like to go ahead and dismiss only the children to Children's Church, and our middle schoolers are going to stay with us this morning. And we're going to delve into a subject this morning about singleness. You being single, because we're starting a marriage series, my wife and I. Oh, you got your little stand too, don't you?
Yeah, so I can see.
Ain't you something? Do you want the bigger one? You
no.
Got the bigger book?
No, it's okay.
So, my little honey and I have been married for 45 years.
In April.
Praise God, huh? We've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know what I mean?
And they're all in there.
I want to establish a spiritual truth for all of us this morning before we start. This will cover everybody in the room. This will cover, sincerely, every born-again Christian. So I want to establish that before we start our journey, because I want to talk about, before we get into marriage, I want to talk about you being single. There's nothing wrong with being single. Amen? Couple of single people in here. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being single, and the Bible has a lot to say about it. And so I want to go to the divine word of God and share that with you. Before I do that, I need to establish a spiritual truth. This right here can be life-changing for you if you'll embrace it. Because some people don't realize, I believe, that what does it take to be a Christian? What does that mean for me? Now, there's people all over the map about what Christianity is. I know I'm supposed to get baptized. I know. I understand that. But what does it mean for me to be a Christian? I want to share that with you. Matter of fact, honey, are you already at it?
In Colossians?
Yeah, are you?
I am.
You are? Okay. Well, then I tell you, listen to this. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Listen to what the word says.
There we go. Okay. I'm loud anyway, so it probably wouldn't be an
Amen.
Issue.
Amen. Amen. She won that argument.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
This is what I want you to understand as a Christian. Because I'm going to tell you, this is going to guide you all. I don't care in any relationship that you're in, this will guide you. You are now hidden in Christ.
Yes.
I know some of us think we got all kinds of rights, okay? Listen, I won't go there right now, but I want you to know this about your relationship. You now, your life has been given to Christ, and you are hid in Christ. So there's a lot of people that want to do a lot of things and say a lot of things, but I want you to understand something. The principle, the divine principle, I'm going to say something you're not going to like. Maybe you will. You don't have a life. Your life is hidden in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that'll help you whether you're single or whether you're married, because we're going to keep diving into this every week. This week, we want to focus on being single, because I tell you, being single, there's nothing wrong with being single.
That's right.
The Bible talks about being single. So, honey, are you already there? I'll let you read it. What do you think? Or do you want me to? I don't mind reading some.
No, go ahead.
You want me to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay. I will. So I want to show you something from Scripture, okay? In Colossians chapter 7, I want you to see what it says, okay? Paul is teaching because the church in Corinth had a lot of questions. They evidently must have wrote all the questions down. This is interesting. We've been studying this in Wednesday night Bible study, and I thought, evidently the Lord really wants us to work on this some, because now here we are again in the study. Now this is, they ask him a bunch of questions. I don't know. We didn't get the list of questions, but we get a list of answers. So I want you to understand, somebody, the churches sent Paul some questions. Hey, man, we got a bunch of questions. Christianity is new to us, all of this, you know. Listen to this. Now, Paul is teaching, and Paul says, I'm in chapter 7. I'm in verse 6 through 8. Now, as a concession, let me stop for a minute. Let me stop. Let me pray, okay? Let me stop and pray for a minute. Father, we bow our heads, we bow our knees, we bow our hearts, my God, to you. And Lord, I just pray that you, Father God, would open the ears of your people. Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, help us to receive. Let this word find a lodging place in our hearts, my God, in the soil of our hearts, that it would bring forth much fruit. Help us to understand. I come against the enemy that wants to bind, that wants to give illusions, that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I'm just praying for, oh, my God, that people would embrace your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me start again. Now, as a concession, not a command, he said, I say this, I wish that all were as myself am. But each has his own gift. Now, what he's talking about, he's single. I wish all of you were single like me. But let me go on. As myself am, but each has his own gift from God. Singleness can be a gift from God. I know in our culture, in the Southern culture, well, what am I talking about Southern? It don't matter what culture we're in. Everybody ought to get married. How come you ain't married? Do you know how we can make people feel when they're single? They feel like, they feel ostracized.
Yes, and not only that, but we also are praying for our children's spouses as they're young. So we have that on our minds, whether they will marry or not. But how many parents started praying for your children very young for their spouse, that God would send them the right one? So we're conditioned with that.
So he goes on to say, each one of you has a gift from God, one kind and one of another. But to the unmarried, to the widows. Now listen to this. He said, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. So there's nothing wrong. It's a gift from God for you to be single. And so I don't want you to feel like you're some kind of oddball. If you're a widow, listen, maybe in the middle of a divorce. There's nothing wrong with being single. So, you know, I just want you to understand, and we're going to dive into it some more, because there's a reason why it's a gift from God for being single. So, and as Sherry said, sometimes we start putting this in our kids when we, you know, I've been married all my life. I knew about being married all my life. And so, and I'll say this, I'm not going to embellish on it right now, because I will embellish on it later. But I will say this. Now, my wife and I have been married 45 years.
In April.
I knew that.
I'm just wanting to make a point, okay? Yeah, I'm texting.
April the 15th. That's tax day, right? I got it. So, but I was married very young. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to talk real open and honest here, okay? I'm going to be real transparent. I need to be transparent with our young people, okay? Even my own boys sitting here. So the real deal is I got married real young because I got a young girl pregnant, and we got married. I was 16 years old, and she was 14. Well, that's back when old people got married. Well, I'm not that old. I just want y'all to know. It lasted about 30 minutes. I mean, honestly, I was divorced by the time I was 17. I got saved when I was in the fall of 18, and I'll have a story to go with that later. But here's all I want you to understand. I'm now 64. I knew that. I've been married all my life. I like being married. I'm the marrying kind. As a joke, I told my wife one time, and I'm going to move on. I said, when we're at your funeral, I'm going to cry with one eye, and I'm going to look and see if there's anybody single there. Ever. I don't want to live alone. It's not my gift. Do you understand? I'm only joking. But anyway, I want you to understand something. There's nothing wrong. And we'll get into it a little bit more. But let me go ahead and say to you, let me read you another scripture. It's found in still the same chapter, chapter 7, and it's verse 32 through 35. Said, I want you to be free from anxiety. So this is why you want to be single. Listen to what Paul is teaching. I want you to be free from anxieties because the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. So men, we get it, right? When you're late, you got to go home and explain why you're late. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. Men, get that in your knower. You do need to be concerned how to please your wife. Amen, girls?
Amen.
A couple of you. You ought to be. The Bible says, that's why I didn't want you to get married. But you got married. Now I want you to take care of her. You know, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman or the virgin woman, if you want to look that up, is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Amen, guys?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A couple of you. Where are y'all? Are y'all awake? Let's start over. I'm kidding. I say this for your own benefit and not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So you get it, right? If I'm single, I can be devoted to God. But listen, now listen, here's a problem. Let me say this. 51% is the statistic that I found as I've done this study of marriages that have gone, that are in divorce in the church, not in the world, in the church. Over half of the marriages are in, I understand why, and I'm going to show you more reason why. But this is one thing. When you get married, listen to me, it changes. Some of your interests are divided. I should care for my wife. I don't mind if she's high maintenance, guys, as long as she's high performance. Amen. I don't mind. But don't be high maintenance and low performance. That dog don't hunt. You know what I mean? But I just say that we should be interested. The Bible tells us we've got to be interested. So now it does change. Does that make sense to you?
And when you have children.
Something. Go ahead.
And when you have children, it changes even more. It's no longer about you, Jesus, but it's about them. Amen?
Yeah. Now, you had made a note, I thought, about... Oh, I got you a note.
I got you.
John Blomberg's making fun of my little pink.
Oh, it's mine.
Thing.
So, it says, God's word maintains that being single is no way inferior than being married. It's not inferior. In fact, it's better perhaps that the most important way of all, the possibility of offering undivided attention to serving God. So I'm kind of repeating a little bit of what he said. An unmarried man or woman can consecrate on the things that pertain to the Lord in a greater way than those who are married. To be voted to the Lord, both in body and spirit, does not refer to a greater moral or ethical achievement, but to the possibility of a more focused commitment to God without adding family, responsibilities, problems, and concerns. So many times, those who are not married, they can devote themselves with all their gifts and giving and prayer and attention to God's word. So it's not inferior being married or single, you know.
And so, it would seem to you, if you can be undevoted to God, it would seem to you that that would be more superior. But you got to understand something about God. See, God knows something about you. And you have needs too. So now, if you're single, okay, and you don't keep, now I'm a parents, y'all might want to tarnfeather me later because I see we got a young group here, but let me just be, I'm going to have to talk honest and open. Listen, if you can't keep your mind off of sex all the time, you have a lust problem, you have an issue. I tell you, God knows you have needs. So one is not superior over the other. I think you need to be able to process and understand what's going on. So even understanding your own self. So there's, listen to me, God made provision for your needs.
Yes, he did.
Now, if you a guy or a lady who has the gift of celibacy, in other words, every day you ain't stripping them down, every day you ain't on pornography, whatever you do in your mind, I'm just telling you, now it's real. I know I can't read your minds, but I know this about human nature. I just tell you, sometimes if you can't keep your mind out of the gutter, you know, this day and time, you know, if you're not careful, especially, we wire less and less. There's nothing left for imagination. But if a guy or a woman has a problem with lust, it don't matter if you're wearing a toe sack.
That's right.
They'll want to know what that looks like on that toe sack. I bet that's pretty on that toe sack. Now listen, that's the truth. I don't want to get graphic here, but I'm telling you what, I want to be real. So the big deal is, okay, so there's a gift of celibacy. And you very well may, and I don't think you ought to ever back up on that.
That's right.
God give it to you, listen to you. I tell you what you ought to do. Man, give yourself to the Lord. I don't care if you're male or female. I'm repeating myself, but give yourself to God. Because it does change, okay? You have to include, you know. Sometimes, yeah. What I want, what she wants, sometimes, I just have to talk to her. You've got to listen to me. And that don't work real well. She wants me to listen to her. She wants to go somewhere. I don't want to go. I want to go to church. We went to church yesterday. Let's go here today. Yeah? Let me go on. Let me move on. The gift of celibacy. Now, let me say this. So if the issue is that I don't have the gift of celibacy, I think we need to process that. I just don't have that gift. Fact of the matter is, sometimes thoughts come. Sometimes I didn't know it was coming, and I didn't see it, and I'm not having the right thoughts about them, you know, and so we have impure thoughts. And the Bible says, listen to what Paul says, still in the same chapter, but now I'm in verse 9. But if they cannot exercise self-control. Isn't this interesting that this is it? Did you know this was in the Bible? If you can't exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. There you go. You get married. You ought to be praying for your spouse. We're going to talk about marriage, too. We're going to talk about spouses. Ooh, has the Bible got something to say about that? Do you know God has a divine way for us to be successful? I'm going to show that to you. Not today. You'll have to come back next Sunday. Today, I want you to understand something. If you can't control, self-control, let me tell you how perverted it can get, okay? Self-control, listen, you can get so perverted that you even still, you get attracted to the same sex. You don't care. Hey, I think she's cute too. I think he's cute too. I have never, ever, no, guys, don't get mad. I ain't never seen one of you that I'd want to be with. Not one of you. I mean.
And I'm thankful.
Now, I realize. Do what?
I said, and I'm thankful.
Yes. Yeah. But if we can't refrain, if you can't exercise self-control. So now you know you. All of you that can't exercise self-control, raise your hand. I'm kidding. Don't raise your hand. You can't. You know you. I don't know you. You know you. You know your heart. You know your mind. You know what stays on your mind. You know what you think about a lot of the times. I just want you to understand that the Bible deals with it. There is a plan. There's a plan. There's a godly plan for you. And a plan to meet all of your needs. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul says, then you need to marry. Now, I want you to see something up. If anyone thinks, listen to this. This is found back. I'm still in chapter 7. Honey, did you want to say anything else?
Not here. I'm good.
Not here. You sure?
Sure.
I'm shocked. So if back in 7, now I'm at verse 36. I'm not. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed or towards his virgin, if anybody thinks they're not behaving, whether male or female, they're not behaving, properly toward the betrothed. If his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Now, hold on a minute. Don't jump out there yet. Let them marry. Make sense? It is no sin. Now, girls, listen to me. If the old boy's going to take you out back with the moon shining bright and say, we're getting married right now, I will you? Okay, let's consummate the marriage. Come on, girls. Say, hey, hold on, let's get a preacher involved. How about that? It's no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, or her having her desire under control, and has determined this is his heart, to keep her as his virgin, he will do well. So then it says betrothed, but I keep saying virgin because betrothed means virgin. He will do well. So then he who marries his virgin or betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. It comes back down, though, guys, to your control. Do you get that? Do you see that in Scripture? The Scriptures are clear about our relationships. The Scriptures, I tell you, you can go to, it gives light. It'll give light to your path. It's a lamp to your feet. The Scriptures are very clear. So, this gets better. This is just the tip of the iceberg. It gets much better. God has given us a divine plan for marriage, and I want to show that to you. But I want you to understand before we get, everything ain't about being married. A lot of single folks in the room. So I want you to understand, praise God. Again, what I want you to get today is it's okay to be single. It really is. Marriage, now this is, I'll show you this again in Scripture. Marriage becomes a relationship where we serve one another. It's the truth. I mean, today most people think, we're going to get married and if it don't work out, we'll get divorced. Ain't no big deal. You can get divorced about as quick as you can get married. I don't know. Maybe you have to wait a year. I don't know how it works now. But the thing is, marriage, now the relationship, the intimacy is like Jesus in the church. So now we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about divorce. And we're going to talk about remarriage, okay? But right now, it's okay to be single. I want you to understand that. And so, and in your singleness, I want you to be clear about what's going on. And it's about self-control. Control your mind. I'm not saying you won't have a wrong thought. But listen to me. The bird can fly in and land on your head, but don't let it make a nest there. Shoo him off. You understand? You're going to have to shoo. Thoughts come sometimes. You don't even know where they come from. And there it is. And thought, but shoo him off. But understand something. If you can stay in self-control, okay?
We do have an authority, you know, over our bodies, over our minds. We have authority in Christ.
Amen. Now, I want you to understand just a little bit more about your self-control. Because, guys, I don't want you to deceive yourselves. I don't want you to fool yourselves. And I don't want you to think different than what the Bible teaches. So let me share one more thing with you about this, and then I'll hush on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 12, because I want you to understand something. So Paul's talking about sexual immorality, okay? And it goes on to say, I believe I started, we'll see, verse 12. Okay, so can you read it?
Sure. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Did you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? Changes everything. Sex changes everything. Good and bad. Let me just say that. You know, it goes both ways. For it is said, women, do not know that he with the prostitute is one with her in body. For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Free from sexual immorality and all other sins a man commits are outside the body. And he who sins, this is important, he who sins sexually sins against his own body. It's the only sin that goes against your body. So your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You no longer belong to yourself. As John first stated in the very beginning, you belong to the Lord, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in your body or with your body. So, as a Christian, your body is the personal dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Where the Spirit is, God's mark is on you, signifying that you belong to him, because the Spirit lives in you and you belong to God. Your body must never be defiled by any impurity or veil, whether by immoral thoughts, desires, actions, or images.
Mm. Yeah. So I wanted you to get, it's a big deal that, you know, when he said all things are lawful, you know, there's a lot of things that are legally right, but they're not spiritually, you understand? Appropriate. But they're legally right, but they're not spiritually appropriate. So, but let me say this. If your body is for the Lord, I said from the very beginning, when you became a Christian, your body, you are hid. Your life is hid in Christ. So you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. I want you to understand, if you can't do the self-control thing, guys, you understand? If you find that you're weak in that area, if you find that you can't be stay strong, I tell you what you need to do. You need to prayerfully look for a spouse. Because when you run around, you know, I want our young people to hear this. I want all people to hear this. When we run around, When we God has a plan to consummate the marriage, is sex in the marriage. When you do that out of the marriage, I want you to understand what happens. You become one with that person. It's a mystery, Paul says. We'll dig into it some more. It's a mystery. You become one with whatever and whoever. What's interesting, though, is what is supposed to happen in the marriage is the intimacy. The consummation brings the oneness to our relationship. If it's done in God's plan, listen, when you don't have the, listen to this. All right, so you gave yourself to someone, and you just knowed that they're the one. My God, the Lord has spoke from heaven, and he leaves you in 3 years later. Or she leaves you 2 years later. I want you to understand something. You can't make them stay. But I have become one, You go into a relationship. I got my thoughts crossed out. You go into a relationship. You're not married, but you know they're the one. And you give yourself to them. And you're looking for intimacy. But I tell you, the intimacy is not there like you want it, because it's not in God's plan. It's not in God's plan to sleep outside. You say, well, we're in love. Sure, you're in love. I get it. You are in love. But let me just tell you something. God's blessings on it is intimacy. It brings intimacy to you. It's more than just skin on skin. It is actually a binding. We actually become one in some kind of mysterious way. Just like we are one with his spirit, now we're one with each other. So let me say this. You know, if you didn't know these things and you say, well, my God, this is the first time I've ever heard anything like this. Listen to me. I just thank God for this. Listen, there's always forgiveness, isn't there? Yes. Praise God. And we'll talk about that some more. But I want to just be sure that you understand. I want our young people to understand this. When we open ourselves up to it, and we're looking for this intimate, this spiritual experience, it can be spiritual, guys. I know that sounds a little odd. It can be very spiritual. It can be very settling. I tell you, when you know that that this is in God's order, then you can wholly give yourself to her or to him, and it's intimate and it's spiritual. And I tell you, there's nothing like it. Here's the problem. When we give ourselves to a person who we thought that was the person, and they leave, they tired, they want something new, they want something fresh, whatever their terminology is, then guess what? There's a hole in your soul. You feel like something happened, something leaked out of me, I don't get it, and I'm broken. I'm broken because that's gone. The intimacy is not there. I've been betrayed. And now, let me fast forward. So you find another one. Ooh, she's better than the last one. He's ringing all of my bells. And then he leaves. Let me ask you something. How many times will we repeat that? Here's the worst part. We get confused and we don't even know what love is anymore. We don't understand. I feel used, abused. I feel thrown away. I feel like a failure. I feel like a flop. I feel. You will feel a lot of things. You'll be brokenhearted. Listen, that can happen in a marriage too. Don't misunderstand me. But here's what I want to guard you against. I'm just talking about singleness right now. And here's the thing I want to really talk to you about is you're going to miss the plan of God. God has a plan. Now, I'm going to say something strong. For you, listen to me. If you don't have the gift of celibacy, if you don't have a gift to live alone, which is a great thing, God has a plan for you to have sex. How you like that?
Say but what? We need to be very careful and prayerful about the person that we marry. They have to have the same values. You wait. God has someone for you. They have to have the same values you have. They have to have the same mind. Then you can serve the Lord together. And you're not set apart. Do you know what I'm saying? You're
Don't
not
go too
divided.
Fast. Don't go too fast.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've got to pray over the individual, whether it's a remarry or if it's the first. You have to know that you know. And get a word from the Lord. You need a word from God about the your spouse. Because it really is, it should be forever. It doesn't always do that way. And from no fault of our own it sometimes. But it should be the person you married for life.
Let me say this because I think it's something that you need to process also. Listen, I want to help you. I want to help you from the Word. I think the Word, I honestly, my opinions don't mean a whole lot. This means everything. But I want to say this to you because I want to guard somebody. Because, you know, after, when God told them from the very beginning, go and replenish the earth. Okay, so it's natural. It seems natural. You fall in love with somebody. It feels natural. It feels natural that we have this intimacy, but we do it outside of the blessings of God. You may say, well, that don't matter. It will matter. It will matter because I just tell you, after a while, you feel very undone. And you're not even sure what love is anymore. And so having sex outside of the marriage becomes more natural and more natural and more natural.
Just watch television.
There's no intimacy anymore. Yeah. It's just, hey, yippee-yay-okay, praise God. I've been not out at nightclubs or nowhere like that, just a simple restaurant with men. And honest to God, and they weren't Christians. And all they could talk about is the waitress. One time, I went to see my wife when she was working at Denny's. She was working at Denny's. Oh, she was perfect. And two guys told me about it. Hey, man, you see that? Yeah. And they went on telling me all kinds of stuff. But I said, well, you ain't got but one little problem. What's that? I said, I'm a husband. The one guy said, hey, let's go. Right here. Yeah. So it becomes easier. And honestly, I hate to say this, but, and maybe I'm saying it too strong, but if you ain't careful, we become like a pack of animals, ain't we? It's just, and you can just be so, listen, men and women, when you are so out of control that you have to go on the internet, listen, even these, whatever you want to call them, these rendezvous is not enough, and now you're on the internet. Do you realize you're getting out of control? Now you're looking at stuff you ought not even be looking at. And I'm telling you, you don't think it won't impact your mind. You are a nut. It will impact your mind. And I tell you what, there has been men and women that's had to come to an altar and ask God to deliver them from pornography. You don't think, I tell you, it'll grow. I told you many times before, and even in this area, the dog that you feed or the animal that you feed becomes the strongest animal. So you want to sprinkle a little bit of sermon on it on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, yeah, I tell you, I'm going to dig into pornography. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm telling you that it becomes a lifestyle for you, and you become captured, bound. So everybody get it? Self-control. Celibacy, it's a great thing. Give myself to to God. If I can't, listen, I want to warn you, don't go down the path. Don't go down. If you go down the path, you damn your own body. How does that work? Somebody explain that to me. I tell you, you curse your own body. It's the body. I told you already, if you're a Christian, that your life is hid with Christ. What are you going to do with it? You're going to take your body and you're going to lay it down with whoever, and you think that Christ is going to be pleased with that? You're laying Christ down with them. Do you understand? Now, don't get crazy here. Christ don't have sex. But they said intimacy. Do you understand? It's a spiritual intimacy. And what you have done now is you have violated the spiritual laws. And you think that don't matter. Well, it matters. Listen, if I talk about gravity, if I was to pick up a boulder as big as I can pick up and I could throw it as high as I can throw and ask you to stand right here, I tell you gravity works every time. Bam! It'll probably knock you out. Gravity works. It always works. I don't care. And I tell you, spiritual laws always work. But see, you don't feel damned in your body right away. And you may not pay. You may not have to pay. You may not see the results of it until you do fall in love, until you do find the right person. And then, another day, another channel. I'll go there later. Then it does matter. Sometimes, if we look at so much junk for so long, we can't hardly be pleased with anything but more junk. Isn't it the truth? Huh? I mean, sincerely. So, I Sherry and I just wanted to do two things today, maybe three. I wanted you to understand who you are. You know, when people say your identity in Christ, and then all of a sudden they'll say things like this, and you can take your authority. I get it. But don't you understand something about your life is hid with Christ? You be careful how you exercise authority, because the authority that you're exercising may not be the authority of Christ, but you feel good about it. By God, I'm full of authority. I tell you, life is hid in Christ. You know when your life will appear again? When the Bible says it was, when he raises you from the dead, and then all of a sudden here, and your life, oh my God. It seems like a mystery. It seems odd, because we wrestle with that. When we take that into our marriages, it don't work real well. I know why 51%. I'm shocked it's that low. I want my rights. You don't talk to me like that. You don't tell me. There's a place for it. Okay.
Yeah, I want to say something here, too.
Okay.
I remember young...
You're not going to tell no junk on us.
Like you do? No. Oh. I wouldn't do that. I remember, we'd only been married, I think, about 4 or 5 years, and I remember it had gotten hard. Anybody been in a hard place in your marriage?
No.
No? Okay. And it had just gotten really hard, and I thought, I don't want to do this no more. This is hard. I want to go home to mama. Those were my thoughts. Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you know why it got hard? Why did it get hard?
And I love my mama, but I certainly don't want to live with her. Do you know what I'm saying?
But
that was my thought. This is really hard, you know? And it was like, I don't have to do this. This is hard. But then, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is important in our lives. Can I just tell you, he is so important. Because I remember talking with the Lord about, are you going to please me in this? And I so feared God that I backed up and I said, okay. And I began to pray. Just because I didn't feel like it, I wanted to quit. I think I was 22, 23? Because we got married, I was 17 years old. Kids, close your ears. Moms. But, you know, 17 years old. And I was the only girl, you know, at home between two boys. But I just wanted my way. I didn't like it. And I'm leaving. I said that in my mind. But but then the Holy Spirit, I so feared God that I would not. I thought, you know what? Mm-mm. What happens when I walk away and God says no? Because I have a feeling that if I would have, then it would be the next one, the next one, and the next one. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you leave. I know this is a marriage thing, but when you attach yourself to someone, you make sure. And if you're not sure, don't get married. You better know that this is the person that God wants for you.
Amen.
Because there are times that you want to knock them. I mean, seriously, there are times you do want to take a frying pan, knock them over the head. I mean, you know.
No way.
That's all I'm going to say.
Our lives are hid in Christ. We got to be Christians. Christians don't beat Christians over the head with a frying pan, right? The first 5 years of our marriage, I am convinced that she wasn't in love with me. Now, you know, when we was young and we was built and, you know, she was attracted to me. That's why we had to get married. But she wasn't in love with me. She didn't know that until we started living together. So, and I thought that if God don't help us. Now, I didn't know that she was, that she'd had this God encounter, but I do know after about 5 years, I seen a change in her, and she began to, she loved me, but she wasn't in love with me. But she loved me, but good Lord, she loved her two brothers. So that don't mean nothing to me. She loved her daddy. She loved her mama. But I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I do believe that with all my heart. Then you fell in love with me. And so it makes a big difference. And God had to help us with that too. That ain't like something we really done. Now we had to work on it, you know. So, and we'll talk about that some more. But all hearts clear. Have you learned anything today? Did y'all know that was in the Bible? Did y'all know that was in the Bible? Yes. I didn't mean to bore you, but this is good stuff. It's good stuff. So why don't we stand to our feet, guys? And so I want you to be very prayerful. And I just want you to understand so that you don't get caught in a trap. You can get caught in the trap. You can get in the caught of the trap. If you really love me, we can do this. Don't get caught in the trap. Celibacy is a gift. You're not an oddball. You're not a weirdo. And God help us in the church not to ostracize you, because I'm telling you, if you're single, it's wonderful. You can serve God. Praise God. You don't have to ask nobody. If the Lord says go down here and see Aunt Susie and share some scriptures with her, you don't have to ask your spouse, can I go down to Aunt Susie's? Why? I don't like your Aunt Susie. Don't go down there. But I feel like the Lord wants to. I don't care what God wants you to do. Happens, don't it? Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Well, let's bow our heads. What do you think? I'd just like to pray us out. And if you're here this morning and you may have a special need, and it has nothing to do with celibacy or singleness or marriage at all. Maybe you just want prayer. I'd like for some of the healing room ministry prayer warriors, if they would, just come to the front. And if you would, stand here. And so I just want, if you need prayer about anything, okay, you can come to the front. And I'm glad to pray with you too, okay? I'm just saying I want to make it available to you, because we're in the house of God, aren't we? So let's bow our heads. So Father, we just, I thank you that you have a plan for man and for woman. I thank you for this plan, and I thank you that it meets our needs. Oh, my God, I just thank you. You didn't leave nothing out. You don't leave nothing undone. You do have a plan, and, Lord, we want to seek that plan because we, our lives are in you. Our lives are hid in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, brand that on our hearts somehow that we not forget. Maybe on the forefront of our minds that we don't forget we're yours. We can't just do what we want to do, when we want to do, with who we want to do. My God, we're your property. We're Christians. Our lives are hid in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us. Lord, there may be many, many, my God, under the sound of my voice, don't even know this existed. Lord, we pray, oh my God, forgive us. Teach us to walk in your ways. Teach us to embrace your principles. Teach us, my God, oh my God, how to give ourselves more to you than we do to other people. My God, I pray over anybody, Lord, that's under the influence and power, Lord, outside of their marriage, under the influence and power of someone else, enslaved to them. I come against that in the name of Jesus. We're your property. Praise God. So, Lord, teach us how to love you more. Teach us how to serve you more. Teach us, oh my God, by your word, by your spirit. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing one more love song to him before we leave. Don't forget, when we leave, go across the hall. Get some food. The food is yours. Please take it home. Now, if you want prayer for anything, I want to open up the altars to you and the prayer warriors here. And listen, if you feel like you need to pray for just these people can't pray, you can pray too. You can pray. It ain't just these people that knows how to pray. If you feel like you need to pray for somebody, surely go pray for them. But understand something. I want you to come and have prayer if you need it.
So, Pastor John, can I share a testimony?
Sure.
So you may think that because we stand up here, we're immune. We're immune from attacks. That's not true. And we had a miracle Friday that we can testify to Jesus. My wife fell 2 months ago at home. She landed on her cheek. She landed on her hip. Things were hurting. We prayed to Jesus for healing. She developed a bump on her arm that we went and got looked at from the doctor, because when you have lumps that stick up, it's something you ought to pay attention to. And got an x-ray on the arm, and the doctor said, you broke your arm 2 months ago. Wow. You broke the radial bone in your arm.
Wow.
But here's the new bone.
Wow.
Let me check the range of motion. It's 100% motion.
Praise God.
So she broke her arm, but God already healed it. And we didn't even know it.
Oh, wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, let's just open our hearts. Worship and praise. And you can certainly come for prayer.
Why don't you just lift your hands and take this opportunity to just love on him for just a minute and just tell him how beautiful he is and how wonderful he is and how awesome he is. Lord, words will not be enough to say thank you. Words will fail us because of what you've done for us, because of what your son did for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we are all here today because of that precious blood that was shed for us, Father. And we all have one common bond, a bond of love, because of that blood that was shed for us today, Father. So we just bless you this wonderful day, and we just love you, and we just worship you, Father. Even as we leave here, Father, we know that we go with your presence. We go into the world. We go to bless the sick with your healing power. We go to bring hope to those who are hopeless. We go to love those who are brokenhearted. We go to be agents of change, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And wherever we go, we are a fragrance of that beautiful name and that beautiful grace and that beautiful love, Father. We thank you. Our week is blessed, Father. Our food is blessed, our water is blessed, and everything we do by your grace will be a blessing to someone else. We're loving you and we appreciate you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget to just go across the hall and get some food if you need some. God bless you all.